You're listening to Wheelationships.
Hello and welcome to the Wheelationships podcast. We once again had a recording problem in Sunday school in the live class, so I'm recording this after the fact, give you the material. If you've been following along in the series we've been doing, The God You Need to Know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the God whom many Christians are sadly oblivious about. And we've been talking about the benefits the Holy Spirit can provide to every believer. Last week, we were looking at the set of benefits which are called gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul describes some of the gifts in his letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. And it's in the notes. Hopefully, you've gone to the website and downloaded the notes so you can look at them and follow along as we go through this. Verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, last week we went through a couple of things that these verses point out, and we want you to know, so I'll just revisit those in case you didn't hear last week. First, we only use gifts, we do not own them. We only use spiritual gifts, we do not own them. We're stewards, we're not owners. The Holy Spirit owns all the gifts all the time. Just because you use a gift doesn't mean you have or own the gift. You have this or that spiritual gift. No, you don't have it. You just use it. Second, spiritual gifts are not an amplification of natural talents and abilities, nor are they made evident on their own. The word supernatural, and that's really the word I want to use here, but I'm not going to. The word supernatural has been complicated by our culture. So instead, I'll say it this way. Spiritual gifts are beyond natural. The word super, when we say supernatural, what we're really saying is beyond. That's what the word super means, beyond. Spiritual gifts are beyond what we can naturally do. They're beyond our effort or our strength or ability. It takes God to do these things. Anytime a spiritual gift is being used, it's because the Holy Spirit is using us in a way that goes beyond us. And along with this, spiritual gifts are incarnational. Last week I explained this a little bit. The incarnation that almost everybody is familiar with is when Jesus became human. When God the Son took human form and became Jesus, He was fully man and fully God. He was God incarnate. He was God in another form. Another case of incarnation was the Bible. The Holy inspired Word of God was written down by ordinary men. And the Word and words of the Holy Spirit were subject to the limitations of human beings. Therefore, the Bible is incarnational. It's the same way with spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is at work, but He works through limited human beings. Kind of like if you were to pour pure water into a styrofoam cup and let it sit there, or you were to pour that same water into a metal cup and let it sit there, when you go to drink the water, it might have a metal taste to it or a styrofoam taste to it. Spiritual gifts are kind of like that. They're more than we could do on our own. They are supernatural, beyond natural, but they're flavored with us because they go through us. They are incarnational. Lastly, we said that using a spiritual gift is not a sign of spiritual attainment. If there is any such thing as spiritual attainment, using a spiritual gift in ministry has nothing whatsoever to do with your holiness or your maturity. The Holy Spirit will use any believer who is willing to be used, from the newborn Christian to you know, the person, I mean, by that, I mean, the person who is newly in Christ to the saint who has been around for 80 years, anyone. And if you're used by the Holy Spirit to minister through a spiritual gift, then it's no sign that you are something above or beyond any other believer. You haven't reached some spiritual extra special plane, the A plus club or something. That's the whole point of Pentecost. On Pentecost, the word was that the Holy Spirit was, as was prophesied in Joel, that the Holy Spirit no longer would be just now and then to specific individuals, but that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all believers, that they could all experience a relationship with the Holy Spirit and be used by the Holy Spirit in different spiritual gifts. So, and the next point I want to say is that we were created to communicate directly with the Holy Spirit together. We were created to communicate directly with the Holy Spirit together. God created us to communicate with Himself directly. And that's what Adam enjoyed at the beginning. He had no priest. He had no go-between between him and God. The only thing about this was it wasn't good. That's what God said. He said, this isn't good. So God created a partner for Adam, and together they met with God. But after Adam and Eve sinned and broke fellowship with God, it's just been a real struggle. Because we, human beings, we tend to speak and interact with God in one of two ways. Either A, we want it to be private. I'm going to talk with God and I don't want anyone else involved. It's just going to be me and God and I don't need anybody else. Or B, we want someone else to do it for us. You know, like, go ahead, Pastor, you hear from God and you tell us what He says. Or, you know, I have a sick friend. Will you go pray for her? I need somebody to go do this for me. And the truth is, it shouldn't be either one of those things. Yes, we should seek God on our own. We should pray privately to Him. He even provides help for us to do that in a powerful way, which we'll talk more about next week. And we should listen to what pastors and teachers say. But pastors and teachers and evangelists do not have any more access to spiritual gifts than anyone else. Spiritual gifts and access to the Holy Spirit are meant to work interdependently within the body of Christ, within His church. That's the point that Paul is making as he talks with the church at Corinth in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And then he continues on with this analogy about the church being a body with many members, and makes the point that every member of the body is important and has a place and has a purpose, and none are unnecessary. None should be considered of little value because they're all very important and just vital to working out what God intends for His church. This is why it's so important that every believer realize the importance of communication with the Holy Spirit. For what the church needs will not be provided when part of the body isn't doing their job. It can't be just a certain select few. It's important to me that you realize that communication with the Holy Spirit is for you to communicate with the Holy Spirit. I need for you to do that, because there will be things, opportunities that you have that I will never have. And the body as a whole misses out when one part doesn't do their job. So briefly, let's go back to verses 8 through 10, or 8 through 11, and that we read at the beginning, and look at those nine different spiritual gifts that Paul mentions. These have been categorized in different ways. And whenever we categorize something, that is just our human way of trying to understand something a little better. So we're going to look at these nine gifts, and we're going to group them into three categories. And God is not bound by our categories. He doesn't check his list when he's using a spiritual gift and say, well, that which category was that in? You're not going to find these categories specifically called out like we're doing. So our categories are one thing. Other people define these in a different way. this is how I think it's best to think about it. First, there are teaching gifts. Teaching gifts. That's in verse 8, a message of wisdom to another, a message of knowledge. These are the gifts, message of wisdom and message of knowledge, that are most needed by those who are teaching. This is more than just teaching in a classroom or a formal teaching setting, however. It might be in a one-on-one situation like counseling, or in a small group. It might be to those outside the church who don't know what Jesus has done for them. Without the spiritual gifts of wisdom and knowledge, it's easy for us to steer the ship in a wrong direction. So let's look at individually these two spiritual gifts. The message of wisdom. Okay, this is not a bestowal of wisdom. It's a message of wisdom. People who use this gift are not any wiser. Some people think that prophecy is the gift that gives guidance. No, wisdom is. Now, there are several possible examples of this gift being used in the New Testament. When decisions were made and actions decided because someone spoke with a message of wisdom. For instance, when they had to decide how to replace Judas in Acts chapter 1, I think there was a message of wisdom. When it was decided how to take care of the widows in Acts chapter 6, same thing. Many different places in Scripture. Second gift is the message of knowledge. Now, it's been said that knowledge involves knowing what. Wisdom involves knowing how. So when we're talking about this beyond natural message of knowledge, we're not talking about something that has been done through study and research. It's not like you Googled it and suddenly, boom, I've got a message of knowledge. No, this is insight given by the Holy Spirit that helps people communicate truth to those who need to hear it. So one example was the knowledge given to Peter about the deception of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. He had knowledge that only the Spirit knew. Or the message of knowledge Jesus had to the Samaritan woman at the well, where he said, you know, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're with, you're not married to either. That was something that was dropped in on him by the Holy Spirit, gave him that message of knowledge. Next, we look next category. So you have the teaching gifts. Now you have the ministry gifts. Look at verse 9 and 10 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, where it says, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits. Now we'll take each of those one at a time. These are gifts that are used in ministry, inside, outside the church. They directly serve people. Ministry, if you want a definition, ministry is serving people what they most need. Ministry and these gifts that are used as ministry gifts are horizontally directed. They're towards and for other people. So first is faith. Okay. Remember, this is the spiritual gift of faith, which means it's beyond type faith. It's not faith we need for salvation. It isn't the faith that the Holy Spirit gives us as evidence of his presence, that fruit of faith. This is a special gift of faith that is for a specific situation or opportunity. And the spiritual fruit of faith is something that continues to grow and permeate our life as we move on and we mature in Christ. This here is a special gift of faith. It has nothing to do with your maturity. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's just given to serve other people. And often this gift is needed to pair, is needed with another gift. It pairs with each of the other gifts at times to give us the boldness that we need to speak or act. This faith and this spiritual gift of faith claims the initiative rather than seeking retreat. In the natural, when it's just us, we're inclined to either presume what God will do or disbelieve what he can do. But the spiritual gift of faith is not presumption. It's daring to believe that God has something to meet his people's needs now. And it's something that is a gift of the Holy Spirit to us. This faith is seen combined, when you look at the New Testament, it's combined with healing. When Peter and John met the lame man at the temple gate, it's combined with a miracle when Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal. It's combined with distinguishing of spirits when Jesus healed the demon-possessed boy in Matthew 17. Next, the gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. In the original Greek, that's specifically plural. Gifts, plural, of healing, not the gift of healing. Because as we've said, these are used, not owned. There is so much to talk about with healing. We could spend a long time on healing, but I don't want to. We're not going to take that kind of time. So just know this: supernatural healing that goes beyond doctors. Supernatural healing is extra natural, right? It's extra beyond healing, and it goes beyond doctors. It goes beyond medicine, home remedies, positive thinking, essential oils. It goes beyond all of that, and it still happens. It's still on the Holy Spirit's to-do list. And I think that our struggle with the concept of healing has a lot to do with our desire to understand it and control it and have it the way we want it and when we want it, and to know when, you know, am I going to pray and am I going to be healed, or, you know, so we do all kinds of things. We try formulas and we try, you know, adding things to, you know, send off for your holy healing water, blah, blah, blah. Stupid things, okay? And we ask, well, you know, why doesn't God heal me? Why did God heal them? What am I doing wrong? How can I be healed now? That's our struggle, because we want to understand it. We want to control it. We want to have it when we want it. But this is an extra natural gift. Gifts. These are extra natural gifts of healing. And when you think, I've said it before, besides Jesus, 100% of every person who was healed in the Bible ended up dying. But healing still happens to fulfill God's purposes and plans now. There are many healings that happen before faith as a sign to unbelievers to lead them to a knowledge of Christ. So that's gifts of healing. Then you have miraculous powers. Miraculous powers. This is broader than just gifts of healing. Miraculous powers can include protection, provision, casting out demons, altering circumstances, passing judgment. All of that is for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the defeat of Satan. Now, some people deny that miracles still happen. They say, well, they don't happen because a miracle would be an interruption of natural order, and God doesn't interrupt the natural order. So what you're really experiencing is just, you know, natural events that God has put in motion. Well, whether or not God does or doesn't interrupt the natural order of things, a miracle is only an interruption of the natural order of things as we understand it, because God doesn't have to change his procedures or laws at all in order to help us, because his ways are way beyond our ways. So whether you want to say it's natural, it's extra natural, okay? We can't do it. We can't set the ball rolling. It is something that is beyond us. It's a miracle. So again, most often, these miraculous powers serve as a sign to those who don't believe in Jesus yet. So that's a big thing. I mean, of course, the church is also encouraged by them, but often it has to do with bringing people to a point of believing in Jesus. Prophecy. The term prophecy refers to both foretelling, telling what's going to happen ahead of the time, or forthtelling, speaking about God's truth. Now, whether or not it's foretelling or forthtelling, it's God's truth that is known to God, and it's revealed to us. We may not know it yet. It may not be going on yet, but God is revealing his truth to us, and it's given in the speaker's and hearer's known language. The purpose of prophecy is always to declare God's purpose in Christ. When God's purposes are declared, our hearts are uncovered, and those who don't know Christ are convicted of what doesn't line up between their heart and God's purposes. That's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 14:24, where he says, "But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. That's the purpose of prophecy. And the final one here is distinguishing between spirits. Some people think this is the gift of discernment. It is not. There is no such thing. This is a gift of distinguishing, which is also discerning, but it's between people. This is not a gift of discernment for people. It's for spirit. We have many tests of truth to help us in evaluating and discerning people and the human spirit. We can apply biblical teaching. We can watch the person's life. We can check the references. We can judge what they say. We can read their mail. We can do a lot of things. And those are available. And so, you know, we get a good feeling about people, but this is not that. The spiritual gift here is distinguishing between spirits. And distinguishing between spirits means knowing something we couldn't otherwise know without the help of the Holy Spirit and being able to act against Satan in power that is not our own. Specifically, this is about knowing when Satan or his demons are active in a given situation. And they are. They are active in the world today. And so there are times, they're not many, you know, those who, again, this is something we could go down the rabbit hole on, but those who see a demon in every behind every bad act, no, I don't think that's true. But there is activity, and the distinguishing between spirits helps us in those situations. This was the spiritual gift used by Paul in Acts 16 when he commanded the demon to leave the servant girl, even though the servant girl wasn't saying anything that outwardly would appear demonic. In fact, she was saying, hey, this is great. These people are great. You know, fall down and worship and whatever. And Paul looked at her and said, come out of her. He distinguished between the spirits. So that's ministry gifts. The third category of spiritual gifts are worship gifts. And this is where we get into an area where the church of Corinth struggled. Verse 10, speaking in different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. The Greek word that's translated into English as tongues is the word glosse. It means literally that, tongue. But it's also used to imply language. So it means speaking in different kinds of languages and the interpretation of languages. Again, just like the other spiritual gifts, speaking in different kinds of languages and the interpretation of what is said is not a natural or learned ability. If you go off and learn how to speak and or interpret some other language you don't know, Swahili or Portuguese or something, it doesn't mean you're being used in this gift. In fact, speaking in different kinds of languages doesn't even mean that the speaker is necessarily speaking in a language anyone on earth knows. It is extra natural, and as such needs extra natural interpretation. Now, the reason I say this is a category of worship gifts is that there seems to be a definite connection in Scripture between the use of these gifts and worshiping God. Whereas the teaching gifts are horizontal, the worship gifts are more vertically oriented. And what makes the vertical gift of worshiping God in a spiritual language into a useful horizontal gift that encourages others to worship is the gift of interpreting what has been said. Now, this verse is not in your notes, but if you look at 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God." So that vertical worship, "For no one understands it, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit." When what is said in a different language is interpreted, then everyone is encouraged in their worship of God. So I know through the years I've heard people say, well, he gave a message in tongues. That's inaccurate. Okay, if someone speaks in tongues or they speak in a spiritual language, the message, if there is one, is to exalt God, to worship God for who he is. It's an encouragement to worship God. Nothing else. I've heard, you know, good, well-meaning Christians you speak in a spiritual language, but then the interpretation was not anything like it. It was more of a prophetic word or thing like that. Okay, you're not really, I don't think you're really listening to the spirit at that point. And we'll say more about this next week. But right there, we're going to leave it right there. And I'll just ask you, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Listen, because he is speaking. He longs to communicate with you. He longs to make his voice heard in your life. And you can be used in any of these spiritual gifts. We talked about these nine. There are more in Scripture you can read through in different places in the New Testament. The spiritual gifts that God uses through us to minister to others. Because that's the point. The point is that we could give out of what he gave to us. So we'll be back next week. Next week we'll get a little deeper into this whole issue of the gift of spiritual languages and other uses of spiritual languages, which is where I think some people get confused. We'll talk more about that next week. Hope to see you in person in class, 9:45 a.m. at the choir room. If not, we'll see you back here on the podcast. Thanks for listening. I don't get a chance to talk directly to you, but I know those of you that are out there, and some of you have mentioned that you listen to this every week or when you catch up when you can. Appreciate you doing that. If you have any feedback for us, you can email me, tim@faithnfm.com, and can answer any questions you have on this or any other lessons we've taught. Check out the message notes, the lesson notes are there on our website, relationships.com, and all the past lessons if you want to catch up with this series. Anyway, we'll talk to you next week. See you then.